Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlichter here for Unredacted Town Hall VIP podcast, which is being done after a trip to the National Conservatism Convention in Washington, D.C., where we went, didn't we?
We sure did.
We sure went there, and we did a thing there. And it was very interesting. It was at the West End. It was downtown D.C. Let me tell you about downtown D.C. It's back to being the Wonderland, right?
It's very nice.
Nice restaurants, except the Cuban one that didn't know how to make a mojito.
I don't remember seeing it, but that's fine. Whatever.
That was the worst mojito I've ever taken. I literally had three tastes, and I said, give me the check. This is a bad mojito. It's sad, because I want a good mojito. But we had earlier with a well-known Twitter personality whose name will remain confidential, had dinner with him, and that was at a sushi place. Yeah. Now, if people don't know about how the K-Dog rolls, honey, do I like sushi?
No.
Do I like any fish?
No.
And when I say, and I don't like fish, people immediately go, is it a religious objection? It is not. It's purely aesthetic. Oh, a deer. Look. Did you see a deer? And I just don't like it. It just grosses me out. I just find it horrible. And then they're like, well, you certainly like shrimp. And I said, no, I don't like seafood. Well, how about clams? Clams is a seafood. Yeah, I know. Sea urchin? Well, you definitely have to like sushi, right? And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? What is your malfunction? I don't like fish. I don't like anything about fish. I don't like anything that comes from the water. I don't even like shit that's water adjacent. In fact, my favorite meat would probably be camel, because that's the furthest I can think of an animal from water.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I think we should move along. I think they got the point.
All right. Anyway, we went out and had a very good chicken karangi.
Oh, yeah.
And wings.
That's a sushi.
And I had a small glass of Sapporo.
A small glass of Sapporo. Small.
Several times. It was very interesting. Steve Bannon spoke. I did not listen.
I didn't either.
I was like, I dealt with Steve Bannon when I worked for Breitbart 15 years ago.
Yep.
So I knew where he's coming from.
Okay.
Who else do we see? Gosh.
Harmeet Dillon.
Seb Gorka spoke. He was great. He was at our table. I had to keep. I was afraid I was going to have to keep him from killing a young man who smarted off to him during the question and answer set. I don't think you people understand how big Seb Gorka is.
He's a
huge guy. He's very scary.
Yeah, voice goes with the stature there.
But boy, terrific speech. Harmeet was terrific. If you are a young lawyer out there, You definitely need to be looking at Harmeet. Go get some United States attorney experience. They're really doing great stuff. But I want to talk a little about some of it in a few minutes, because I think I can use my lawyer powers, which I don't use typically anymore.
Okay.
And I spoke on the Trump Doctrine panel. And I was the guy who was going to be full-throated in favor of Trump. And I was more than Trump. And it was the day after we blew up the speedboat, which I thought was great. Did you see what JD did today?
No.
So we're doing this.
No.
This is Saturday, right?
Saturday.
I have to do it in advance. JD said, you know, if you're a scumbag criminal importing poisons that kill 100,000 Americans a year into our country, we're going to kill you. And one of the Kassenstein brothers, I know, a human dildo, gets like, well, that's a war crime. You know what that's called? That's called when you kill civilians of another country. That's a war crime. And JD's like, I don't give a shit what you call it. Imagine big picture of baby JD just smiling, the little I don't care Margaret look. Oh my gosh. And it actually didn't come up in my speech. There's so much more going on, but we had Victoria Coates, who you probably know. She's pretty hardcore. doesn't like, understands there's an enemy out there, doesn't like him. Then we had some guy from the National Review, and he was a little bizarre. He got up and he was like, well, you know, if you're not isolationist, or isolationism is really tyranny. And I thought, well, that's an interesting take. Then he observed, and our friend Jim Hansen asked him about it in the Q&A part. He's like, well, the House of Representatives is giving up its traditional control of foreign policy. And I was like, the what now's doing what now? It's like, dude, no more crazy talk. I mean, I was just like, wait, what was that? What did you say? Is your phone talking?
My phone wants to keep responding to you.
What, Siri's like arguing with me?
No.
Does it write for National Review? No.
She's trying to school you.
It's more likely to have kissed a girl.
Siri is trying to school you.
Yes, Siri.
Representatives.
Okay. Well, and then we had a guy, a Georgetown professor, of course, who was of Iranian descent. And people were like, I think this guy's an Iranian agent because he's like, America must give up its dominance of the world because of reasons and shut up. And Ron Coleman, who you know from Twitter, who is my lawyer, brilliant lawyer, Supreme Court litigator, came in and said, asked him, are you really saying America should not be the dominant power in the world? And the guy said, yes. And Ron said, thank you. I don't have any more questions. I was like, killer cross-examine.
Very clear.
And then I got up. He was unhappy because, you know, obviously shilling for the Iranians. I was like, here's another problem with the Iranians. They killed Americans. They killed 1,000 Americans. We've got to go kill them. We've got to go kill them till they pay. I did a land acknowledgement at the beginning. It was great. I was like, I want to acknowledge that we conquered this land. It's ours. And if you want to take it or control us or dominate us, you better come heavy. And like one person like looks around and starts clapping because they're not sure they're supposed to respond because everyone else was reading their stuff.
Right.
Right. I'm doing the lawyer thing. I'm prowling like a caged tiger. And one of our friends, Samantha Nereau, who's Jim Hansen's wife, who preps people for a living, right, to speak. She gives me this, like, critique afterwards. She's going, do you know you tap your leg? And I was like, yes! Yes, I know that!
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And it was cool.
It was great. Okay, what else?
Well, there's a lot of stuff. It was a good thing because it was kind of the intellectual side of conservatism that, you know, we've kind of not done a lot with. We've kind of been focusing on the muscular side. And I think that's important to do because, you know, for a long time, far too many conservatives were, how do I put this, bow-tied in cell virgins, right? Honey, I got the controller on. It's not going to crash in time.
Okay.
So I do think we need an intellectual foundation, but we also need guys who've been in a fist fight. And I think conservatives are trying to find out where it goes in preparation for Trump not being around it.
Yeah.
And a lot of this was, you know, they call it the Trump doctrine, but it's not the Trump doctrine. It's classic Jacksonianism. And Trump is the avatar of it. Trump is the guy who represents it. The guy who has taken up the banner when no one else would. They just left it on the ground. He picked it up. Much like Sir Mix-a-Lot with Girls with Back.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
Some guys don't like it. They leave it. I pull up quick to retrieve it. That's Trump for populism as opposed to enormous butts. So I've got to put that, you know, I think I've got to write that. Maybe that'll be my Thursday. What Donald Trump and Sir Mix-a-Lot have in common? I'm going to totally write that. Oh my God, that is brilliant.
There are objects on road ahead. Well, okay.
They're trying to distract me from the truth, but I can't be distracted.
Here's the You're going to speak the truth.
I'm going to speak the truth.
Stop.
I don't care. I don't care what anybody does.
No objects of the road will stop.
No objects of the road's going to stop me.
Oh, yeah, they're still there.
So they are there. There are objects. Somebody's tire disintegrated. And of course, the cop just drives by. Cop's like, screw that. I'm not getting out. I'm not getting that thing. You can get that thing if you want it. I don't want it. Then Jim Banks, the senator, was there. And what a nice guy. I'm going to go do a speaking gig for him next week. Or for a PAC he works with. And he said, why don't you and Arena come on up, have lunch with me at the Senate dining room. Now, I worked on Capitol Hill 39 years ago, right, as an intern for Duncan Hunter, the first one, not the second one who had lots of issues, but the first one. And it's a very different, first of all, it used to be a lot dirtier, grimier, and old.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done a lot of work in 40 years. The Capitol looks
nice.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Really nice. Really clean.
I mean, I didn't take any selfies because I didn't want to get sent to jail for 30 years. But it was really clean. It was really nice. People were cool. And that was the thing about D.C. It was cool. We saw guardsmen. They looked squared away. You know, troopers. We saw some cops. We saw some federal officers. Not a lot. You getting the idea? It's like occupied, like it's a forward operating base. Nothing, not very much. But we did not see it. We saw one. I remember one degenerate.
You saw nice.
And that was today. That was on the way out.
No, I saw a few. You saw one last time coming out of the restaurant.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember.
It was right in front of us while we were saying goodbye.
Oh, that degenerate. Okay. There weren't that. Okay. There were not a lot.
It certainly felt fine.
It felt safer and it felt normal.
Yeah.
And there were lots of people out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it was that way 30 days ago, but it was certainly that way this week. And whatever Trump's doing, it's working. And, you know, Mariel Bowser, the mayor, she's like, you know, I'm kind of for whatever's happening. You know?
Yeah.
I'm happy about it.
I bless you.
And then everybody, well, Trump's occupying. You know, I didn't see anybody being forced into handmade outfits. Oh my gosh. Did you see the great handmade picture?
Yes.
She looks like Rosie O'Donnell. They all look like Rosie O'Donnell or Elizabeth Warren. They're enough to quell any erection. They either look like they're a fake Indian, or they're going to steal a baseball from a little kid, or they're Rosie O'Donnell. Anyway, she looked like Rosie O'Donnell, and she's some journalist, and she posts this picture. There's these baffled guardsmen, including one with like a porn stash who's waving at the photographer. And then there's these two women in their handmade getup. And if you zoom in, you could see one of them's the woman,
yeah.
And we did not see any handmade stuff. Now, I'm still trying to figure out the whole Trump handmade thing. Because if there's ever going to be a president anywhere who is less likely to wrap women up in layers and layers of clothing, it's President Donald J. Trump. Okay, maybe you haven't been paying a lot of attention, but that isn't how our boy Donnie rolls.
We promote a bikini contest.
Oh, God.
Not the hem.
A wet handmaiden's robe contest. And it's just, the whole thing's just so fucking ridiculous. Sorry, now I gotta get a language warning. It's so freaking ridiculous that I think it's a 50 Shades of Grey kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where the women are really into kind of like weird domination, bondage, S&M kind of stuff with this. I think there's a lot of psychosexual stuff about, because if you could be any, someone else pointed out, I wish I could take credit for it, by Keith. Someone else pointed out, you have all of literature and culture to choose heroes from or heroines from. You could choose Ripley from Alien. She's badass, right? We all like Ripley, right? Or Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Right? As for popular or, some spunky lass. Anne of Green Gables. I haven't really read Anne of Green Gables, but I know that's a thing. Could you ever read that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not. What the? I'm one of the few women.
Little Women, or Laura Ingalls Wilder, right? Oh. Stan Lepre.
Nancy Drew.
There's all sorts of, strong, take charge women who are, not girl bosses, but they're flat out competent and cool. Yeah. And, you could choose them to model yourself after. I'm going to model myself after the perverted sex slave.
That's weird. They hyper-focus on that.
I think they're into... Honey, I think they're into the thing. I think they're into the weird, because it's a very... I have not read The Handmaid's Tale, but I am aware of what it's about. There's a lot of dark sex stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot about... It's kind of a lot about rape and just... I mean, it's gross. From what I understand, I'm like, as I haven't seen or read it.
Yeah.
I know, we're Netflix. You want to watch Handmaid's Tale? No, let's watch The Shield again.
I know, we're just...
We'll watch The Shield again.
We've watched it.
And we had a friend who worked on it.
Yeah.
Who was, like, associated with it.
That said it was very good.
He said it was well made. I don't think he liked its politics, but he said it was, coherently made. But the thing is, why do you choose a weird psychosexual role? And commit to it to the point where it's blindingly obvious to even the most retarded individual.
Or where you're constantly...
It doesn't apply.
...looking for anything that points to it in real life.
And you're hoping for it.
Yeah.
You're living...
And you're hoping that you'll see it reflected somewhere in society. So you go, point and see?
And the funny thing is, it is reflected in Muslim societies.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
In fact, it was written about Iran.
Iran, yeah.
Until Margaret Atwood, who's the author, realized, there's a lot of Chardonnay gals out there who'll buy this stuff if I can, if I say it's, Bush, right?
Or those Christians.
The Christians.
Christian nationalists, whatever, there.
I gotta tell you, are there enough masculine Christians out there? Because we know a lot of like, evangelicals who are pretty frickin' soft. Do you know any of them hard enough to say, woman, don thy robe of sexual weirdness? No, there are not. They're not. There are not. Now, I'm not like saying I'd like there to be, but let's face it, if you're going to find the guys who want to do that, you're not going to go down at the first church of everybody's included and wonderful and here's our homosexual flag.
It's mercy because the left does that. They focus on one, form of literature. Remember when it was the Harry Potter books?
Oh, they still do that. Trump is Voldemort! It's like the DD comics, what he does say, white people can't dance, right? Right? He does a little gesture with it. Come on, laugh! You sat through more than a few comics. Because Arena was part of my stand-up comic era. So she would have to go, but I'd be in the green room, so I didn't have to watch them.
You guys, you have to.
You had to watch them.
Yeah. I give and I give.
Oh, my gosh. And you finally said, we're not doing this anymore. There are, I think we have a very constructive relationship because we talk about things.
To have children.
But you were like, we can't do this anymore. And I was like, well, you're right.
Have the kids. Can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, they could have grown up in that environment.
Oh, goodness.
But at least they're not damaged. Up here? No, I'm not going there. I don't know where the hell we're going. Anyway.
You'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. When we get there, we're done with the video.
Oh, is that right?
Well, nearby. Because we're at 20 minutes.
All right.
But anyway, I
anything else about the convention?
No, but I want to make another point.
Oh, sorry.
About, and I, and get,
tried.
Yes, you tried. I've got to get back to I want to make a point about they really want things to go to hell. They want to be handmaids at the power of some strong, sweaty, conservative man who knows more positions than awkward missionary. And they really want Trump to ignore the courts, which he is studiously not doing. It's driving a lot of conservatives crazy, but I think I know what he's doing because he's winning all these. We had a judge, Judge Chen, in, where was it? Massachusetts, I think, who basically said after the Supreme Court said, yeah, your temporary injunction on not on making the temporary protected status for 1.1 million aliens that Biden gave and extended, that stayed. You're not doing that. And then he immediately did again. He said, well, now I'm ruling on the merits because a preliminary injunction is to hold something in place until you can make a final rule. Well, I made the final ruling and I, a district court judge, has decided that I don't think you have a good reason for not allowing 1.1 million people who came here temporarily to stay forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, congratulations, Judge Chen. In all these, there's about 100 of these crazy decisions. This may be the craziest, where a district court guy says, yeah, one president who I happen to like can make a temporary protective status and extend it a little bit. But the next guy who I don't like can't ever do it because I don't think he has a good reason to. He basically said, well, they may face difficult times back in their third world hellholes. It's Venezuela and Haiti and I think somewhere else maybe. Okay. Not you to make that decision. Well, he didn't make it. It wasn't a rational, well thought through decision. In other words, you think you should make it, not the guy elected and empowered to do it. It's really staggering. And, you know, the temptation would be, well, I'm going to put him on the planes anyway. Screw you, dildo, Baggins. And it isn't. And Trump's not doing that. Trump will appeal. And Trump will win. But these court, John Roberts is going to have to discipline these court because they're not going. We're simply not going to go, well, I guess we have to submit to a bunch of leftist judges. And remember, a lot of these cases lose. Yeah. Right, they get normal judges, and normal judges says that's stupid and crazy. We're not doing that. What you hear about are when they get to a leftist judge says, "Yeah, I know the Supreme Court told me that the executive can't be ordered to pay $10 billion to a bunch of foreigners for some foreign aid bullshit, but I'm going to do it anyway because." The Supreme Court issued its order on a Tuesday. It's now Saturday. And so it's different. That is unsustainable. And Roberts better act. And he doesn't want to act, right? You saw the 12 judges who came out and started talking bad about him. And they were all like, he's not explaining himself. Bitch, I'm not even in the cases. And I know exactly what they freaking mean. This obtuse bullshit about, well, you know, the Supreme Court told me that, I couldn't perform this action, but I don't really understand why. Did you not read the briefs of the government? Because when the government said in there that, you know, district court doesn't, you know, pointed out the statute that strips the district court of jurisdiction over immigration rulings, you didn't catch that part? You don't think the Supreme Court may have been. Yeah, you would. And if the Supreme Court had, would you rule differently? Are you saying you're confused? Are you saying, well, I just didn't understand? I mean, it's just such bullshit. And, you know, Trump has that I'm not going to do what you say sitting in his pocket. And he's keeping it. And people are like, well, I should just ignore the bill. No, let's let the Supreme Court suffer. Because what you want to do, you don't want a win on an individual issue. You want a systemic win. And you win systemically if the Article 3 branch decides to do what it's supposed to do consistently. Reinforce the paradigm, not the individual result. And then you'll get a lot better individual results. You're always going to lose some cases. You should lose some cases. Nobody's perfect. Anyway. Okay. Well, I'm perfect, and this has been perfectly delightful here on Town Hall VIP. Follow me on Twitter, at Kurt Schlichter. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday are my columns. Get Los Angeles, Silver Bullets on a Sunset Strip, my and Irina's book.
Fun.
It is a fun book. You should get
fun story.
You should go get it.
Guys are missing out.
You are missing out if you don't have it. Get American Apocalypse, the Second American Civil War. You want to go grab that one very, very soon. And want to keep being VIPs, because thank you so much for being VIP members. You're great. Hopefully we're going to have a lot more activities for you coming up. I know I keep saying that, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Anyway, thank you very much. Adios.